with your host, Tom Metzger.
Yeah, it's Freya's Day here in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana, P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana 46581. And that's where you best get your money in for the donation for the radio show if you don't have it in there already. It's an overcast day here, but warming up. And I think the sun's going to come out. Hey, they got a big rhythm and blues band down in the city park tonight. I don't know. I might go down there and listen and see if there's any good white boys down there. Yeah, and it is the July the 10th, 2015, Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the bunker.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we thought of it, of the end of it, when we started to paint that town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
Morning, I did an interview with our friend over in Poland. Yeah, what was his name? Yeah, his name is Daniel Sienkiewicz. Boy, those Polish names are hard. Sienkiewicz from Poland. And he has he works with a program called Majority Rights, of which we planned a couple of other interviews tomorrow. This was somewhat of an impromptu interview today, and we'll play it back for you. Actually, I had a lot more. I lost some of it, but I've got plenty of it here. So if you hear anything on there you disagree with, well, you just let me know, and I won't apologize. Okay. Because we were all over the place. Here we go. Here we go. Majority Rights. Daniel. How about that? Now I got to figure out where I'm at here, too. Oh, there I am. My recorder. Well, I'll tell you, I'm getting off to a whiz-bang start here. Yeah.
Good morning, Eastern Europe and Poland. This is Tom Metzger, the radical racist, white racist, that is, here in the heartland of the United States in Indiana, named after the Mongol Indians that used to run around here.
And man, I love it. Greetings from Poland and from Daniel and Majority Rights.
Good morning, Daniel, and what's new in Poland? You see, I live in near Warsaw, Indiana, and my county is Kosciuszko, so we're well versed with the Polish situation.
I know you're living there in Warsaw.
Count Kosciuszko was one of the best friends of General Washington. And
you would get some argument, though, from the Belarusians as to his real identity.
Oh, I see.
Because it was the time when Lithuania and Poland were one, and I think that his actual background was more Belarusian than Polish.
Well, we're not going to split hairs. At least I'm not going to. I understand he was white. That's the only thing that counts for
me. That's the important thing. It's the important thing to me, too. And I have to say how appreciative I am that you call yourself a racist, because I do that, too. I'm not going to go around like David Duke and call people racists as if that's a bad thing.
Yeah, they have all these right-wing code words, you know. They're not really code. It's like the N-word. What do you think? The minute they say N-word, what's the other word you think of?
Honky?
No, nigger. I mean, you know, telling people to talk about the N-word is ridiculous, because immediately the other word comes to your mind. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
Oh, you mean the Nazi word?
The Nazi word? No, I mean, you know, blacks, you know, they say N-word. Well, everybody knows N-word is nigger.
Yeah. Well,
N-word could be Nazi, yeah, but I don't think that's got around yet.
I believe in calling them niggers.
Well, they are niggers.
They certainly are.
And I use that as a derogatory way, because I have no respect for the black race. I have respect for individual blacks who have shown me that they deserve it.
Yeah, of course there's nice ones, but then again, I came halfway around the world to get away from them, so...
Oh, yeah, well,
I don't regret it.
I'm not a hypocrite about it. I don't want any blacks around me, and...
They normally respect that, too.
Essentially, well, yeah, I get more support when I go on a black radio show than when I go on whites. Whites are so self-conscious and guilt-ridden over nothing that... But with black people, they come on the radio and say, "Yeah, racial separation's fine. We were doing much better when we were at least segregated. We weren't totally separated, you know."
I'm all for it.
So anyhow, I when I meet a black on the street occasionally, if he says hello, I say hello. I don't run around looking for black people to beat on. I'd surely like to beat on some of these blacks that kill whites and rape white women and all that kind of stuff, but generally, here in this county I live in is 98% white. You don't see our land.
Then you've got all the Jesus freaks there.
Well, they're worse than the niggers. I'm telling you.
A bigger problem.
Anyway. I'm telling you, in this point in my life, I've decided that Christianity is... if not our top enemy in the racial struggle, it's very close to the top.
It's really up there.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I had to do this. TT, we had here at Majority Rights a free speech forum that was going on since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It was largely racial, and we had some super high IQ people here exchanging ideas, and eventually, it devolved into trolls, into people who insisted on bringing Christianity here, other people who wanted to bring Jews here,
yeah,
to them, and other people who wanted to insist that every jot and tittle of what Hitler had to say was perfect, and anybody I had to come here and salvage the many things that have gone on over the years at Majority Rights, and establish a platform. I saw a niche available, which could be, you know, Jesus free, where all Europeans were defended and looked after and had a place. So it had to be, for that reason, Hitler free. Not that Hitler didn't have some good ideas, and we can't talk about some of the good things he had, right? Of course. But, you know, when they start coming like he's perfect in every way, then I have to draw the line. And then the other thing is, we can't have Jews here, because they take care of themselves. They don't need us. So we got to take care of ourselves, you know.
Well, you know, we've got these new deals like in San Francisco here, where they call it a what do they call it? A open city? Not an open city, but
The gay bay?
No, it's, well, yeah, but, hell, I've been contacted by gays a long time ago asking for help to keep the blacks out of their neighborhoods, too.
Well, I mean, if you give me a choice between a gay bar on my street or a nigger bar on my street, there's no question that you're going to be better off with the gay bar.
I don't know whether
Not that I want a gay bar on my street, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, I really don't care as long as they don't bother me. I mean,
there are gay bars in town. I don't go there. Nobody can make me go there. I'm not interested. They don't bother me.
I think the people that have extreme problems with them have a problem themselves, a little deep-seated, maybe a little bit of homosexuality in themselves, you know?
People should be able to be critical of it, but you're right. You're absolutely right. It's a problem. Is down there.
I don't like to be in a place where these flamboyant kind come in.
No, I'm not comfortable with them. I want to hang out with them. The male ones. But.
Well, a large number of homosexuals don't put on an act or anything. They just go in, have their drink or their food, and leave. And if you didn't know for sure, you wouldn't know at all. I mean, you know, it's the other part. It's the other section of them that drive you crazy. I mean, I don't like white people who act crazy, white heterosexuals that act crazy. I don't like them either.
They're ones who are like acting too macho. They're like, they want to get in a fight with you over every damn thing. That's a pain in the ass, too.
And
for stupid reasons.
Well, in San Diego, I'll say this. My wife and I want to go once in a while to an arts theater down in San Diego, in a certain area of San Diego, which was a very large homosexual makeup in that community. But, I mean, the streets were clean and the whole bit. And so this theater was right in the middle of the place. And obviously there was probably several homosexuals in the theater. But you know what? Walking down the street of that town, we didn't feel threatened by anybody. And there weren't a bunch of niggers around, you know?
Can we move on to another topic before we...
Yeah, I'm tired of talking. That's enough for the homos.
Yeah, it's going to swing one way or the other to us being liberals or right-wingers.
We'll always give them something to attack us with. You know.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, they got to have something to talk about over the back fence.
Now, I learned that from you. I never would have taken the call speaking, derisively of the right wing, if it wasn't from you getting me to see that perspective and how on the money it is, because it had been associated with Marxism and every Jewish idea in the world, and I was just as repulsed by it as anything, and yet I couldn't quite identify with the right because they're so stupid in so many ways that what do you do? And then you realize that there's a difference. There's such thing as white leftism or nativist leftism, and you go with that, and it like a cat, it lands on its feet every time.
Well, my perfect Aryan soldier is a young person who is steeped in science and math and understandings of the dangers to the ecology and understands the danger of predatory capitalism and anti-war, and then we graft on to that the racial separatist idea. That's my perfect soldier.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
But not all of us are gifted mathematicians. Some of us have more of a sociological and artistic bent, unfortunately.
That's why evolution is so important and genetics is so important and proper breeding is so important, because it's not so much the base of the pyramid is that is extremely important, but it's the peak of the pyramid where that 5%'s at. That's why you have to keep a strong, wide base to furnish the genius for that small number at the top that carry our civilization.
Makes sense to me. As long as they're accountable to the race, as long as they don't betray us, those ones up there.
Well, if they understand anything and understand the evolutionary process...
Sometimes they don't. There's some really, really smart people who don't get some important basic things, too.
Well, no, I understand that, but...
I'm finding this problem. There seems to be a difference between logic and judgment, and you know the kind of the parts of the brain don't seem to line up well enough with some people.
Well, most of it's pure acceptance too. If they hang around with people who think the wrong way, well, they're going to probably think the wrong way. I mean, you know, because they don't want to lose their friends. Well, in this world, if you're going to be effective, you should not have to worry about friends, period. It's your job. You're in a position. You're supposed to do the job for the race. And if everybody around you don't like that, well, the hell with them. Don't,
you know, you said something that's profound and is not really, there's not enough attention paid to that, or there's not any attention paid to it in Western tradition, just the opposite. It's like, I think the whole concept of friendship, and well, love too, but the whole concept of friendship is overrated. That, you know,
sure.
And it's been endorsed ever since Aristotle and Plato. It's been endorsed as like a distinctly human thing, and yet, you know, people come and go, and you find yourself, you know, enjoying the company of new people all the time. Some people,
here's my thing. The definition of friend to Tom Metzger is a person who'll take a bullet for you. Now, how many friends do you really have? I mean, you have I treat everybody as an associate, but I could count the real lasting friends on both hands.
You've had some great ones over the years. You had,
yes, I have, and I still do.
And Richard Scutari, and Bob Matthews, and
yes,
and Bob Miles,
Dave Lane.
Yeah, I mentioned David Lane and
Robert Butler.
Well, David Lane. That's one of the things that brought me into the opening the struggle. It's like,
yes,
reading that thing that he said from jail about how he did all this for white women, and he's got no letters from women of childbearing age. And here these niggers are in jail, these killers, and they're getting letters from white women wanting to marry.
Well, I knew a couple of younger women that were in contact with David Lane. I think he exaggerated a little bit.
Well, it was tugging at my heartstrings.
David was always a horny guy, and in his writings, his horniness always came out. Now, I can respect it. Being in prison for years, I can understand that. But still, in his writings, you know, the one where the fiction deal where they went up and kidnapped the belly dancers or the girls from the bar and took them up to their camp because they needed breeding material.
You got anything against being horny, Tom?
No, I'm horny all the time. And I'm 77.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, if you've got somebody that'll take a bullet for you, then you have a friend. Otherwise, and also love. See, love.
I think all my friends have taken the bullet. They're all shot now.
love is lust. It's not lust, but lust is what most people confuse with love. Number one, it's animal lust that attracts you to a woman. And animal lust that causes you, you know, to take her out and have sex and even get married. But after about two or three years, that animal lust wears off. And
yeah,
then either you begin to understand love as a comradeship like that, or you don't. And that's why they get divorced so quick, because they don't understand. They think it should be lust forever, and that's just not in the cards.
Yeah, my sister's a divorce lawyer. She's raking it in.
Yeah, I bet she is.
Yeah, she is.
I don't think people should even, you know, they argue about who can marry who. I don't think there should be any official marriages at all. You just come together, and you decide to live together.
Well, Heidegger talks about, he makes a difference between first and most essential, and it seems to play. The way, you know, attraction to me with a woman is first, but most essential is that she's, you know, a person that I can get along with. I think that she's a good person, and that's a moral and that sort of thing.
Well, that's the problem. That's like playing Russian roulette. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
To tell that in the beginning, everything's hunky dory. You know,
everybody can play. You know, play the.
Yeah, and women are experts at it because they have a great survival rate. I mean, they. Their ability over the years to survive against their men,
yeah.
The brutality.
Yeah, I think that their ability to survive against the men has really, it's kind of like made them too strong. Now that the deck is rigged in their favor, a lot of them are really tyrants now.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, there always were tyrants. I mean,
yeah.
But
I think it's worse now.
Well, I think everything's probably worse now. But, you know, one thing, I think it's mostly out in the open now. I think it used to be behind closed doors more.
Yeah, now that's another thing. In the 70s, in the 60s, I didn't see women walking around with niggers. I just didn't see it, and I never got used to it. I never planned to get used to it. Yeah, I'm sure that it happened behind the scenes, but at least it wasn't accepted, you know?
Well, I'm not talking about the race thing there. I was just talking about bitches.
I know, but I wanted to go to that.
Sure. Well, I didn't either, and I mean, I still, it's odd around here where I live. Well, not real odd, but I don't see it much, but it's too much of it. If there's any of it, it's too much. Well, no, this is monkey see, monkey do. The crowd follows, you know, the crowd, if you've ever read the book The Crowd by Gustave Le Bon, tells how this crowd psychology works, and the enemies of our race know exactly how it works.
They're good psychologists, aren't they?
With propaganda and all that, and pretty soon everybody wants to be a part of something, and even a whole lot of the homosexuals. I don't believe they're homosexuals at all. I believe that.
I think you're right. I think a lot of them aren't, really.
These things run in cycles. The only trouble is with race, you can't depend on the cycle coming back too strong, because once you've integrated the races too much, there's no going back. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and it's creating a problem where I see a phenomenon where a lot of qualitative women are getting sucked into this black hole of miscegenation. So when someone like Roger Devlin is talking about, well, it's only a certain number of women that are doing it. Yeah, it's a certain number, but that doesn't take into account quality and all that's being lost in some of these women.
Now, most of these women gravitate to mulattoes, which is a gene hijacking, and that is a very dangerous weapon.
Very, very dangerous. Because, you know, all kinds of strange breeds can come out of that. Like, you know, they could breed a new kind of race that's even worse than Jews, potentially.
Yeah, a hybrid race, and sometimes those races are very good in the first generation, but just like in the animal world, any person who works with animals will tell you the second generation they start going downhill again.
But anyhow,
this gene hijacking, and our side does not talk about it as much. They just talk about black, black, black.
Well, we're not allowed to. Yeah, these mulattoes are really dangerous too, because, you know,
they're more dangerous.
Some of the women don't look that bad. I mean, they're not attractive to me because I'm not into that. I don't like the black skin and so forth. But you know, you get a young guy, and he's going to think, whoa, look, she looks good. You're just jealous or something. Why don't you like blacks? And
she's taught that all the
destruction that's coming along with this and has been already visited upon this particular genetic line.
All you have to do is look at South America, and you see it all over the place.
Good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
And
Brazil.
And the thing is, too, a lot of these mulattoes are intelligent, and some of them are highly intelligent. So
yeah, that's a dangerous factor too.
Now, when you see a beautiful white woman with a gorilla, you see them. Usually, they're sports figures, you know, and they know there's lots of money. There's a money pit there, but beyond that, there's still beautiful white women that are so screwed up in the head, and I account that to Christianity. In fact, I account two-thirds
right.
of our problem to Christianity and spin-offs of Christianity.
Some of it, though, is the opposite. Some of it's like Darwinism. They think that these apes are strong and, you know, they're getting like a genetic edge from doing this.
Well, that's the male, white male's fault. The white male has not asserted himself like, say the bikers and people like that. So.
Well, that's why we got to use the word nigger. That's another thing that I try to combine thinking about things hard with being assertive, because you know, these European men, white men, are the two self-transcendent, the two ready to go into the abstract clouds and rise above it and try to, and think logically around and rationalize these things away. And we're getting screwed because they do that too much.
Well, it's because we've gotten away through Christianity and so forth that man is the higher animal, and the only way he's going to maintain being a higher animal is to be ruthless about it and maintain his position. I mean, in the old days, and not with everybody, most white guys, if a black guy would even come within a block of their woman, they'd kill him.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. Well, you know, but I look forward to being ruthless again, but, you know, for the past 50 years, you know, I was, you know, try being ruthless alone. It's like...
It's a miserable situation, and I suffer from it all the time, dividing what I want to do, what I'd like to do, and what it's possible for me to do. I mean,
yeah.
But that's why I'm so much more interested in the left and also the destruction of this empire and the crashing of the economy. We have to bring it down to where... Let's put it at a level playing ground again and see who ends up on top.
That's why the leftist position is so good, and why the Jews don't want us to have the leftist position, because you're keeping an eye on the most dangerous people, the elite traitors, and you have a constant vigil on them, and you have people at the rank and file who have incentive to be to participate. There's accountability to them, so it's just right. Everything lines up with that perspective. I'm not giving it up. I've learned it from you, and I'm not giving it up.
Well, no, and everything should be aimed at the white elite, the white 2% at the top.
They're these sons of bitches, these fucking traitors. Oh man, they should be skinned alive.
I was talking to this Katie Couric secretary yesterday, the television personality.
Oh, her. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I said, look, now I've lost my train of thought, but anyhow...
It'll come back.
Yeah. Anyhow,
I'll see it anyway. I got a
brain fart here, man.
But don't worry about it. You have that recorded with Katie Couric, that's why. So...
Yeah, well...
But I'm eager to tell people that, you know, I've said this before, but it's true. Here in Poland, it's still pretty white. We have some Jewish admixture, and of course, you know, some Jews in up in politics. But it's still pretty white, and I'm eager to tell people that I've never, in 16 years here, heard anybody saying bad things about Germans. This is not the way the people are thinking. A lot of people are part German too. You know, and it just...
Yeah, but the Germans...
There's not this... You would get the idea when you hear the right wing in America that there's a big problem.
Well, I have a big problem with Germans because they're not like they used to be, and I'm...
Well, that's a different thing. That could bother me, too.
No, I don't mean Nazi. I mean they...
Think of the sandals and they're liberal and all that, and all that stuff.
Well, hell, they're the most vicious towards... racist about anybody in Europe. I mean, you know,
they feel like they got to overcompensate.
Well, and look at this Angela Merkel bitch. I mean, you know, I mean, instead of her, Putin should watch out for her. I'd have her strangled. But Germany's trying to do it the Jewish way and control all the money.
That's true. They got this thing. My colleague was telling me about this because I'm not good with economics, but this Japanese woman that you're going to talk to tomorrow, she knows a lot, and she's talking about this, how they have this kind of attitude that, you know, debt must be paid down, everybody must pay down their debt, and if you're going to keep an economy going, a lot of this debt has just got to be, you know, written off.
Well, I just say, put on my sign out front of the house, fuck the debt.
Europe's going to be destroyed.
Just walk away from the debt. What are you going to do about it? You want to come in here and start shooting? Well, we'll shoot back, you know.
So that's it. So it's a problem. It is kind of a Jewish thing, but
it is really Jewish.
It really is. But anyway, I don't want to create acrimony between.
Well, no, I can create acrimony with everybody. But into the point is that, like, what's that country over there that was allied with Germany during the war? Outside of Yugoslavia, there. What was
Romania?
It? Huh?
Romania?
No, it was another country.
Croatia?
I forget what country it was.
Croatia, Slovenia, Romania.
It was involved in that
Slovakia?
Serbian war.
Croatia.
Yeah, Croatia. Yeah, Croatia. Now, there's a, you know, they were, you know, allied with the Germans during the war. And all these young guys I used to talk to, Croatia, Croatia. Well, anyhow, you read the papers, and Croatia's doing a whole lot of, you know, poor Jew, poor Jew, poor Jew, and building monuments and everything, to where the Serbs were actually more anti-Jew than Croatians.
Yeah, these wars are disgusting.
At least the ones I had contact with, you know. So you can't judge today by what happened tomorrow, yesterday.
And I don't want to. I don't want anybody to feel guilty about what happened 50 years ago. That's ridiculous. Nobody had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to lay guilt trips on anybody, and I don't want guilt trips laid on me for history that I had no damn thing to do with. That's what's so frustrating about this stuff with people want to talk about World War II all the time. We'd be done with it already. It's like I didn't do it, and I don't blame anybody for it. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get on with it. We got to defend ourselves. You know, I like all European people. And I have to remind myself of this because people see the Polish name that I go by. I use my mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, this guy's telling me that I'm Polish chauvinist. What? A Polish chauvinist? I grew up in America with an Italian father. It was the last thing in the world in my mind. You know, Polish chauvinism. What the hell is he talking about?
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's. I like all Europeans, and I have to remind myself of that, because they get me to react. They start pissing me off.
Well, you should say I like all European whites that have a right, if their mind is right. I don't like all of anybody.
Oh, they suck.
Unless they think right.
That's what I mean. You know, it's the pattern. It's the, you know, I like the pattern of all European peoples. It's got to be semi-transcendent, because if you look at people for their just face value.
Well, I can go any place.
It's hard to defend anybody.
I can go any place where there's white people, as long as they think white, act white, and do white. You know, I don't want to, you know, here I'm surrounded by what I consider my enemies, because there's a church on every corner out here, and they're all nuts.
You call them the mind control. Sir.
And the paper's full of their crazy letters. Now, you know, they say, well, how can you believe that there's difference in races, but they believe a man rose from the dead? They believe a man walked on the water.
That's totally insane. How could you be a racist? We're all the human race. And then they turn around and say, you know, that someone walked on the water and rose from the dead. That's totally insane.
Yeah, well,
what happens is your mind glitches. You can't, it's like you're in Planet of the Apes or something.
I was in a science fiction novel. I was in Christianity until I was about 40, I think. So I, at one phase or another, I was in Christianity. It took me a long time to break loose from Christianity because I was born here in a Bible Belt, and I was forced to go to church and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I had it imposed on me early, too. I went through an embarrassing phase around 21, and then luckily came out of it, but not after embarrassing myself.
One thing that got me...
proselytizing in the worst.
One thing that got me out of it was, I said, well, wait a minute. If there's a God, he has the laws of nature. Now, would God go against his own laws? Because all the laws of Christianity go against the natural law. So if there was a God, would he disobey his own law, which is in nature?
Yeah.
You see? By saying people are doing things it's not possible to do. I offer these Christians all the time. I'll say, if you have faith of a mustard seed, then it says you can do anything Jesus did. So here's a gun. Shoot yourself in the head, I'll bury you, and in 3 or 4 days I want you to come back to life, okay? Do you really have faith? You don't have faith to do that? Well, you're a lying son of a bitch.
That religion, it's not even moral. It's an immoral religion.
Well, it's a virus.
It's a Jewish trick.
But I will say this. Oh, yeah, there's a statement in a movie by this hillbilly once. He said, Jesus is a trick on the niggers.
Trick on the white people, too.
Well, yeah, I know, but this guy is just a saying that I thought was funny. And it's amazing how blacks could go from being into slavery and jump right into the Christian church. Now, Christianity was the slave master's religion. Christianity was with them all every step of the way in slavery. And then the blacks get free, and then they so-called free, and they're right back into the slave master's religion. That's insanity.
GW has this really good take on what Christianity does. It serves the Jewish interests by they look upon the rest of humanity as Gentiles. There's no distinction between races or tribes or anything. We're all Gentiles, and we're all undifferentiated mass.
So does the Mormons.
And they tried to blend us away, and you know, take away gender differences, the works.
I think we give too much credit to the Jews. The Jews kick-started the whole thing with their crazy-ass religion and the spin-off, which was nothing but a spin-off of their religion.
We can't give too much credit. They can be given too much credit, but they are very... I've seen them very influential in academia. I've seen what they do. They are in some powerful niches. I had a big fight with Tan Stoffel recently because I tried to explain to him, you know, I tried to defend the word monocausal because it's a word that majority rights they're using to apply to people who only focus on the Jews, and we try not to be monocausal here, like we realize that this is not our only problem. And so I tried to explain that to him, and he acted like I was, you know, trying to... distract from the JQ or something that I was that I was trying to say that he was crazy or something because he's focused on.
Well, that's a weapon. That's a weapon.
This is not our only problem. I can understand people focusing on that. I understand how powerful that they are, but you do have to kind of survey the complete landscape of not only of problems but of maintenance tasks and upkeep for our own race and things we got to do to reconstruct even our own race.
The whole idea that the Jews run everything is comes out of white weakness, Aryan weakness, and it's a cop out, and it should be recognized as a sign of weakness because the Jews had that religion down there in the Middle East, crazy ass religion, but then the spinoff. Then shortly was totally taken over into Christianity, and Christianity is the major virus. Judaism could have never made the inroads that Christianity did. So, and who is running Christianity? Was it the Jews? I mean, you know, 99% of the people running Christianity were white Aryans, you know?
Yeah, it's...
You know,
there's truth to that. It's like... You know, these people are accepting. You know, white people are accepting this shit. Why the hell are they accepting this shit? It's ridiculous.
It's because they're weak, and they want excuses and a way out. They use the same thing about the black people, but
a lot of them are just better characterized as weasels.
I say all the time, the saying of the vampire. Is that he can't come into your house over your threshold unless you invite him. And that's the whole bottom line. There is not one thing the Jews have done that we didn't invite them to do. I mean, you talk about these so-called Jewish intellectuals in high position. How did they get there? It wasn't because they were surrounded by 100 million Jews. They're surrounded by white Aryans who led them.
Well, yeah, but it is a subtle thing because they are good talkers, and sometimes you think that they're saying some some good things to begin
well,
with.
Well, they may be saying the truth.
Sometimes they can look kind of like us. Some of the women look okay, and so, you know, you think, oh, what, you know, I grew up thinking, well, why do people hate them so much? And then you get to know them, and then maybe you understand.
Well, I take Jews as they come. I mean, you know, I look at him, I say, okay, he looks pretty European. And I say, well, he talks pretty European, and he acts pretty European, and he does pretty European. So what's my problem? And I go on. If a Jew crosses...
I don't have to persecute him.
I think overall we've made too big of a deal out of the Jews, like you say. And, in fact, that gives them so much power because of us making them like supermen. Oh, my God, the Jews run everything, and there's no way to fight them. And they're, you know, you can...
But I'm in a position here, though, understand this, majority rights, where I've got to, because I can't, I've got to have them be still, while they're not the only problem, I've got to keep them, recognize them as a distinct people, as not white, or not, as a distinct people at any rate, because, and as...
How can that be?
Antagonistic because I've got to keep that safe distance. It's
well,
as long as
wait a minute.
I got to keep that safe.
That's
distance.
That's not possible. That's not possible because the Jew, the power of the Jew is moving into all the races, integrating into all the races, and that's where their power is coming from. It's not a cohesive small group that are the big danger. It's the ability they have of infiltrating all the other races and growing from the inside.
But majority rights isn't a race. It's a place where people who don't identify as Jewish can meet, and so that I got to have that place for them. And it's important. I feel it's important to have a place where people who are not like worshiping the Third Reich and Hitler can still. That there's still heavy skepticism of Jewish power and influence.
Well, when you run a situation like you do, that's one thing, and I tend to stay away from it because I are not from you, but my position is I'm going to do an hourly radio show, and I'm going to say it exactly the way I want to say it. I'm going to discern information exactly the way I want to discern it. Don't call me. I don't give a damn. This is what I say, and if you don't like it, go someplace else.
I don't see what you're saying contradicts what I'm saying.
Well, you have to put up with a lot of these people that you do, you interview and all that, like me.
See, you're one of my favorites. It's like, you know, you have Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Tom Metzger. You know, it's...
I don't know who's
the greatest of all times, but you know you're one of my heroes. I don't have a problem with
you. No, I'm just
it's like you got an incredibly high lifetime batting average, slugging percentage, on base percentage, doubles, triples, home runs.
We all do things, the whole thing.
You're up there with the all time greats.
Okay,
I
appreciate
1,000% with everybody, but who does?
I appreciate that, but you see, what I'm saying is there has to be somewhere for me, and
well,
I'm not.
You have your place
where I am going to handle it totally the way I want to handle it, period.
I understand that.
I'm not going to get bogged down into a lot of interviews, which some of them would be great. But many of them are crazy, and they come at me with stuff I don't believe in.
That's the beauty of my situation. It's like we're not a radio show. Majority rights. We might do a radio show once a month.
Yeah.
And it's only if we want to interview this person. We don't feel it's the same with the articles we put up. It's not like I have to put out an article today. Oh, I have to do an interview today. No, we do. It's very qualitative. We take it as we see that, okay, this is something that really needs to be talked about now. This is someone that should be interviewed now.
Well,
that's why I'm talking to you now, because I need help with this right wing shit. You know,
well,
I need a comrade who can understand that.
Like George Lincoln Rockwell used to say, there's many paths to the palace. And like Miles used to say, we march separately, but we strike together. So, that's the situation. It's all kind, you know, everybody can't do the same thing, but everybody's important.
Yeah.
You see, it's just that, you know, we have so many of these right-wing outfits with their radio shows with all this garbage and nonsense and reactionary crap that we have to weed out that kind of stuff and stay away from it because it's a virus. And
no, I need your help with a particular thing. I have this theory. I mentioned this to you the other day, this hypothesis that, no. Now I like William Pierce. I enjoy his radio shows. I respect his intelligence. This is not about gossiping. It's not about taking him down. I think he was like a really smart guy and a good guy and all that. But there seems to be a corollary. Every time I run into a person who's fixated on Hitler and just insists that Hitler was perfect in every way, it invariably turns out that this person came up through the William Pierce school of thought, and this one guy, Franklin Reichert, gave me a clue that perhaps it happens because William Pierce really didn't hate Slavs. He didn't hate Slavs, and so he projected his own goodwill onto Hitler. He thought that Hitler didn't, you know, was well intentioned towards Slavs as well, which he wasn't, and so people get the wrong idea that
there
shouldn't be a problem. You know, the normal position is like, how the hell are you going to, can you be a white advocate and advocate all European people and then try to resurrect Hitler across the board as if he was like the perfect representative of all white people? Well, if you want to represent, you know, Germans, you know, I can understand that. This is logically consistent. You can't represent.
Well, I tend to be more practical in my approach to Pierce. Tactically, he just picked it up from people. You know, my library is full of books that said the same thing Pierce said 100 years ago, and he just picked it up. And I used to talk to him once in a while. He's not an easy man to talk to because he's a little bit of an intellectual snob. And
kind of grouchy too.
When he was in Washington D.C. and he was doing a good job with Attack, the newspaper and so forth, and he made contacts with the black Muslims and all that, I was all for him. But then he said he was going to move down to bumfuck West Virginia, and I said, "What the hell are you going out there for? There's nothing going on out there."
It is a pretty state.
And yeah, but his job is a soldier, and it's not to be out there in the trees looking at the birds. So I said, he wanted everybody's opinion. I said, stay in Washington, D.C., or go to New York or whatever, but raise hell in the big cities. And I said the same thing to Richard Butler, who moved way out and then in the country and gradually went to hell. I mean, the National Alliance would still be going strong if he'd have stayed in D.C.
Yeah, probably that would have kept him, you know. Like,
and Pierce did not.
In reality.
And Pierce did not honestly groom a person or people to take his place. He did not want anybody to take his place. That's the secret of Pierce.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And
I'm not here to criticize.
I don't care about the Pierce lovers. I take what he said and I think.
No, the problem is that I see this connection. Every time someone can't get past Hitler, there's always someone who came up through the Pierce.
Well, now you've got the thousands of
even Greg Johnson. You know, it's like even these, you know.
Well, now you got thousands of white nationalists or white racists who can't get by Pierce. I want them to get, when I die, I want them to get by me and do something new, do something else, or do whatever. If it works, do it. I don't want them to sit around. I don't want any monuments or that bullshit.
You have that agile mind. You have that.
Just throw my ashes in the creek out back of my house.
This is something different.
Well, yeah, but this idea, the whole thing about Hitler worship boils down to even worship of Dr. Pierce or Dick Butler or anybody else when you get into that situation. And people do it all the time. Maybe they can't get out of it, but it's a weakness. Don't worship anyone.
It's made worse by the internet, because what happens, you got these self-reconstructing systems that they're not forced. They're not confronted with reality check like maybe Pierce would have been in, if he had been in.
Well, my question is,
they just keep over and over, you know, this is correct, this is correct, everybody opposes this is.
Well, wait a minute. My question is this. Out of all that National Alliance and all those years of writing and talking, what changed?
Things got worse.
Yes, they did. So obviously we're doing something wrong. That's why I'm always trying to do something new and trying to move in other areas and change and try different tactics. These guys back then, the old guard, they got into one line and they stuck with it no matter what, and then people would develop into a worship thing of them, you know. Dick Butler was my friend. Miles was my friend. All of these guys were my friend, but Pierce was not my friend. He didn't like me, but...
the Bolshevik.
I didn't care about that. I mean, you know, he was doing his thing, I was doing mine. But I do think that they're giving Gleeby too much trouble. He tried to fill the shoes, and the way they had Pierce set up as someone to worship, nobody could fill his shoes. So Gleeby, no matter whether he's got feet of clay or what,
He seems like an intelligent man.
And I've talked to Gleeby many times, and he never betrayed me. I never had a problem with Gleeby, and I think that...
He seems intelligent.
Well, I think he got screwed myself, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know all the factors, but the point is that when Pierce died, no one was going to take his place. He set it up that way, and Gleeby tried, but he just didn't have the ability to do it. It's very difficult, like Alexander the Great. I mean, you know, they tried to fill his shoes, but nobody could. But that hero worship can go too far. And I don't want to be worshipped. I want people to respect me and respect what I think. But don't give me any of that Metzger worship crap, because I don't trust people who do that.
Yeah.
I see them as weak.
Well, you know, yeah.
That's all.
I still like Uncle Tommy.
Well, yeah, that's fine. And people... work that out in different ways, but it doesn't have to be this worship crap like with David Duke.
No, I don't worship him.
With Dr. Duke and all that kind of crap. He's no more a doctor than my dog. But anyhow, he got himself some kind of a... We used to write into... the old right-wingers used to write into Popular Mechanics and get a college degree. And you could buy them for a buck or two, you know, and they used to do that, like, what's his name down there that worked with Duke?
Black?
No, he was in L.A. He was, well,
Kelso? Huh? Kelso?
No, this is long before that. That
was, Dr., what's his name?
Well, anyhow, these guys pick up these doctor terms, and they're not doctors at all. I mean, they're just...
Dr. Fielding? Fields?
No. Well, he's another one. He got a... he went to chiropractic school, and he got the name doctor, but he never practiced chiropractic at all. I mean, I don't care, but why do people have to call themselves doctor to get respect? I mean, you know, to me, that's
if I was a chiropractor, I'd feel funny calling myself a doctor.
Well, now I do have respect for the doctor from Georgia went down to Florida. Doctor, boy, I'll tell you, you know, you get these brain farts. Anyhow, he did a bunch of TV shows. He used the Race and Reason TV. He asked me whether he could use it, and I said sure. And but he was a chiropractor, but he was a stand-up guy. He was a working...
Did he have a French name or something?
We got his stuff on the website and so forth. But hey, I'll think of it 5 minutes after we finish this.
Yeah.
You know, but he was great. He talked working class, but he was intellectual, and he didn't expect people to worship him or anything like that. He was really a good guy, and he's dead now. But luckily, I was able to save a lot of his TV shows because I was tipped off his wife was throwing them all in the trash.
Oh, that's
and I was able to get a guy over there, and we salvaged a whole lot of his shows. And so we have them available on the web. And probably, you know, everything we put out there, we don't put anything with legal ties to it or copyright. We don't copyright anything. We get it out there.
It's good. It's the 11th hour for us. We can't be you know, too finicky about
Yeah, how can you copyright
for things and getting credit for things? The information's got to get out there.
It's like copywriting a rifle in a war. Well, you can't use that rifle because it's copyrighted, you know.
Right.
So anyhow,
that's a good analogy.
But anyhow, the flesh is weak. Every so-called leader has its problems and feet of clay and all that.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you just have to say, well, this he did real well or she did real well, and this, I don't know, not so much.
That's true.
Hey, go
that's,
on.
That's
so,
what I do. I'll
but since I say a couple of things about Pierce, there'll be all kinds of people saying, "Oh my God, he hated Pierce."
No, but you didn't say anything bad about him. It's not my purpose to drag him down.
He had some hang-ups. I mean, why couldn't he find women in the United States to marry? He always married a European or a Russian, and then he always got divorced.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, anyhow, there's more. There's a lot more to this story, but I'm not going to go into it because he's gone and that's it.
Let's not gossip. There's no need for that.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot that is not gossip, but I don't need to talk about it either.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where all the skeletons are at in this movement. That's what pisses a lot of the leaders off, because I was there, I know. I was there at that meeting. I talked to them about this, and this was the plan and all that. I know all that stuff because I was there, you know. Like I hear guys talking about the border.
Did you ever get to talk to Bob Matthews, or did you just...
That's still classified information.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Maybe on my deathbed.
Oh, you can see how I'd be curious about that.
No, I have no problem with you asking. A lot of people do. But there's certain things that could hurt other people and that are still alive. And so I don't talk about it.
All right. One of the things that's cool about you, too, is that your kids seem like really good people. And you got grandkids. That's a... no mean feat.
Well, we had a problem with his Skype there, and that cut off right there. And so it's time to get out of here, and we'll call that a show. Yeah, and tomorrow, like he wants me to do an interview with a Swedish fellow and a Japanese lady that he's had contacts with. So we'll see what happens tomorrow, boys and girls. Terrible Tommy's off and clear in 14-5. I have nothing to say again.
Riding north on Interstate 75 with a nervous fading beauty sitting by his side and a pistol that he used to pave the way down the long black stretches of a dark highway. Ray bought his future with a pound of lead. Robbed a liquor store and left the clerk for dead. That kid should have put the money in the sack, but he didn't, and now there ain't no turning back. He's a desperate driver, he's a Jesse James. The best that he can hope for is a household name. There ain't nobody that a man can trust, and all his headlines read notorious.
at Knoxville when the lights flashed on and the sirens started howling like hell hound dog. Rick Hoppin' fired into overdrive, swore he'd never let them take him alive.